Amen. Wasn't that great? And when she gets to that part about our frantic believing and all that, and I just slip away into my own little world. Guys, welcome to North Point. I have had a wonderful week. I feel good. And you guys have been so good to me. I got to tell you, I'm we're just finishing up this 30 days. Finish that up, but what would your life be like? What would matter the most? And we're going to go right into this thing. We're going to title it Dangerous Surrender. And saying yes to God. To me, saying yes to God is like this theme park. Am I on? It's like it's a theme park ride. It's full of loops and ups and downs and highs and lows and real lows. But this journey with God is incredible. Yeah, and it's just wonderful. It's kind of hard to put into words, but you start this journey by saying yes to God. And Tuesday or Wednesday, I got kind of worried, Lord, you haven't told me anything yet. Work maybe concerned. Yeah, I know it's coming, but sometimes I just wish he'd tell me before Wednesday. Before, what he wants me to talk about. So I can at least be thinking about it. But then really, I don't even have to think about it. It's his deal. But I was kind of prayed. I said, Lord, could you show me something? Kind of quick. Just so I quit panicking. Wednesday, I get a call from a guy that's been going to church here a year. 41 years old. His name's Jeff Lacey. He said, I'd love to come talk to you. I need to talk to you. There's some priorities I've got to get in order. And so long story short, he came over Wednesday evening and we talked out in the garage and he said, I just keep doing these things and making a mess and blah, 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 blah. And I need to make some decisions. Bottom line is I led Jeff Lacey to Christ Wednesday night in my garage, and he said yes to following Christ other than the world. And I said, there's some things that come along with saying yes. And so that's what the message is today, about saying yes. And so I'm hoping I help Jeff. I'm hoping I help. You guys don't know, but Oscar Willerson, 80 years old, just accepted Christ as his Savior. He said yes. He's sitting back here. And so I think my message is for him. I also believe that the message God has given me is for some of you that's on the brink of saying yes to whatever it is that God is talking to you about. And so I don't want you to zone out on me, because God has something for each and every one of us, no matter what the age, no matter how young or how old, how big or how small. But I'm excited about what's happening, about what God's doing at North Point. Go ahead and turn your outlines. You can turn your Bibles if you want to. It'll be hard to keep up with me. But let's look what God says in Mark 6:12. It says, they preach with joyful urgency that life can be radically different. Jeff's life, Oscar's life, is going to be radically different than it was Tuesday. Saying yes to God does these things. And it does at least three things that's going to happen if you say yes to God. So what changes when I say yes to God? The very first thing you want to write down in your outline is my days become an adventure. My days become an adventure. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God, who got you started in this spiritual adventure, shares with us the life of his Son and Master, Jesus. God has placed in every one of us this incredible yearning for adventure, to have heroes, to be heroes, to rescue damsels in distress. That's why we buy motorcycles. Somebody came up about it, to, getting kind of close to the end of the service. See, I'm still ADD'd by it. I can hear it in here. That's why we buy these motorcycles. That's why we climb mountains. That's why we float down rivers. That's why we do all of this stuff. Guys, I want to tell you, if you will say yes to God, He will take you places, both spiritually and physically. That is incredible. That's an incredible journey. More than anything that you've ever experienced, I promise. Myself and many others can tell you that's kind of what North Point is. This incredible, incredible journey. And the same thing that happened to Abraham in Hebrews 11:8 says, by an act of faith, Abraham said yes to God's call to travel to an unknown place that would become his home. When he left, he had no idea where he was going. And that's how we got started here at North Point, just to give you kind of an example to go along with the same thing happened to Abraham, was that God spoke to me and said, I want you to build a church that's different from any other here and do this for me. And so I asked him, you know, and I waited a long time. Where do you want me to do it? Where do you want me to go? Who's going to be the pastor? Where are the musicians coming from? Who's going to do all this? And we didn't have the answers of where we were going to go, who was going to play, who was going to do this, what was going to happen. But the only thing that we did right was we went. We just went. People would say, what are you going to do? I don't know. Where are you going to meet? I don't know. What's your objective? I'm not sure. Who's going to be the pastor? Well, I'm going to teach it temporarily. What do we do now? I think it's thrilling to think of heroes that risk it all. That just risk it all for the unknown. But it's kind of scary too, isn't it? I know when we set out, it was kind of scary. You know, I was scared to fail. I was scared people would laugh at me and stuff like this. But sometimes and over the years we've become complacent. What do we do now? We watch our heroes on TV. And we sat on the couch and we see them do. Some great, some just silly. But guys, I want to tell you something. There's a lot of adventure still out there. It's not all been done. But we've resorted to our adventure just being on video games. Our handheld devices. We've reduced them to that. Or the traffic. We have a lot of adventures in traffic, don't we? I had a good time in traffic this week. I was told I was number one again. What a great bunch of folks we've got around here. But anyway, so your pastor's number one, amen? And the only damsels in distress that we have are rescuing moms from their sports schedules as they try to juggle them for their kids. And I got to wonder, is this all God has for us, this adventure? No. I want to encourage you today to let your life become this incredible adventure. And you know, the whole idea of me trying to encourage you to join in an adventure with God is kind of silly if you know me, because I'm scared of everything. I don't like the dark. I don't like most animals because they bite. Just got a whole lot of fears. A lot of issues up here. I don't like horses. I used to when back in the old days. Yeah, that was out in Texas. But 10 years ago, God invited me to join with him on this incredible ride. This incredible, dangerous surrender, and it's called North Point. It's been full of loops and ups and downs and scary corners. Places that I didn't know where we were going. But man, he's held my hand every step of the way. And I know he'll hold it another 10 years. It's been incredible. For you, it may look different. For you, it may be in your job, in the marketplace. It may be in your move to Texas. Whatever it is, you're built differently. You're wired differently. God knows you. Isn't that incredible? The God that created all of this knows you. And he knows you by your name. Guys, there's another world out there that needs to be rescued. And there's one that's crying out for heroes like Larray's. There's a world of hurting people that need you. The next thing that will happen to your life after the adventures, your life also becomes a miracle. By his mighty power at work within us, God is able to accomplish infinitely more than we would ever dare to ask or hope for. When we say yes to God, he does miracles in us. You say you don't believe in miracles. I say you haven't said yes to God yet. Your life becomes a miracle. Jesus asked, "Do you believe I can make you see?" "Yes, Lord," they told him, "we do." Then he touched their eyes and said, "Because of your faith, it will happen." And suddenly they could see. When we say yes to God, even the most average, even the most ordinary folks, miracles begin to happen. Saying yes to God radically changes your life. I'm a testimony to that. You know, growing up, man, I wanted to be like Superman or Spider-Man. Hayden and I used to walk around, psh, psh. You know, and I'd act like stuff bounced off of me. I could fly. I would think of all those girls in school, you know, and I rescued every one of them, you know, from something or another. So I wanted and I craved to be a hero. I wanted to be Superman. I wanted to be Spider-Man. But instead, I became Mailman. Isn't that something? Well, talking about being let down. But Wednesday night, I led old Jeff to Christ. I watched last weekend as Bryant and Kayla got married. Bryant's the first cardboard cross kid to be married. For you guys who don't know that, we used to have a cardboard cross at North Point. He was one of those little boys that prayed on that cross. But anyway, I thought about all of that. And I said, God, I may not have turned out to be Superman, I may not have turned out to be Spider-Man, but you used this old ordinary, everyday acting Joe to lead a few of these old boys and girls to Christ. And I am ordinary. I'm just up here acting a fool. But somehow God uses that to lead them to Him. I was very thankful that He uses ordinary people. And for that very moment, I felt like Superman. Amen? And it has nothing to do with me. It's all about Him. And that's what's kind of neat. I've been used. That's a miracle. God chooses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Little, I love this saying, little becomes much when you place it in the Master's hand. Little becomes much. He's looking for ordinary people, maybe so He'll get the credit. God wants to do significant things in your life. You know what else He does? He also makes our heart peaceful. My heart becomes peaceful. When you say yes to God, your heart, it can be stirred. It can be stirred with passion, but inside you're at peace. This incredible calmness. Guys, I want to tell you, peace is not the absence of excitement. Peace is not even the absence of conflict. Peace is found when you live in the very presence of the all-living God. That's where peace is at, when you're hanging out with Him. Jesus said this, and I love this. I love this verse. I've told you all this so that in trusting me, you will be unshakable. I really sound like a preacher then, didn't I? You will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace. Saying yes to God is like getting rid of a restless heart and giving way to a passionate one. You can be lit up with excitement, or you can be lit up with conflict and inside be a calm spirit. Well, if God gives us this kind of life, why don't we say no? Why don't we choose no in a lot of ways? So the second one is what keeps me from saying yes to God? I believe the very first reason that we say no and we don't say yes is our fears. I put my fears. Oldest problem in the book. Adam was afraid. And he ran and he hid. I don't know how many thousand years later, but we're still running. And we're still hiding from the Lord. Just as Adam did. We have a lot of fears and phobias. Like I was telling you, I'm afraid of everything. But the fundamental, the deepest fear is we are afraid to trust God. We are afraid to trust God. What I'm talking about is we're afraid to totally trust God, 100%. To let go 100% of our life. Oh, God, you can have this part of my life. You know, you got me a place in heaven, and I'm going to give you that. I'm going to trust you with making me a place in heaven. And I'm even going to trust you with finding me a spouse. But God, you have no place at work. I'm going to keep you in my career is mine. I work hard. So I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to take care of my marriage, but I'm going to be with you on Sundays. We don't want to give Him 100%. We don't want to let go of all of it. Would y'all agree with me on that? You know, I'll even give you my finances. Don't want to let go of it all. Afraid to trust Him. Well, what does this do to you? What does this do? Why are we afraid to trust Him a lot of times? I think there's three reasons, and the very first one is ignorance. Ignorance. We just don't know what God is really like. But when you and I find out what God is really like, we want to tell others there's no reason for you to be afraid. God's not waiting to thump us over our head. When you don't know what God is like, you will be afraid to trust Him. Well, how do I know? How do I know that I don't know what God is like? Simply, you worry. You go to Matthew 6. If you're worrying all the time, you're worrying about whether God's going to clothe you. You're worrying about whether God's going to feed you. You're worrying about whether you're going to have a date to the prom. You're worried about whatever. You're worried about whether you don't want a date to the prom, especially the one you're going out with now. What? You worry. Go back and read Matthew 6. Just do that. That's how you're going to know that you don't know God, if you're continually worrying all the time. And the second way is idolatry. You know what idolatry is? Idolatry is when you make something more important than God. Whether it's sports is first place, whether it's your job is first place, whether it's school is first place, whether your spouse is first place, making money is first place. If all that's, you know what? And you, idolatry is whatever you think of most. That's what's first place in your life. Whatever you put first is probably what you're afraid that God's going to ask you to give up. I got news for you. You don't own anything. It's all on loan to us. It's all on loan to us. You know, Satan tells you a lot of times, too, that if you say yes to God, you're gonna lose some things. You're going to lose some fun. That's what he told me, because I like to have fun. First told me, he says, Jim, you're going to have to become a stick in the mud. You're going to have to wear socks. You know, you're going to have to wear a tie. Or at least a button-up shirt. The other thing he told me, or Satan was telling me, Jim, you're going to lose some friends. Because for one thing, you got to start combing your hair different. You got to start talking different. Started telling me these things I was going to lose. But I want to tell you, as somebody who's been through it, I'm going to tell you what you really will lose. You'll lose guilt. You'll lose loneliness. Those are things that you're going to lose, really lose. You're going to lose us. I used to have this incredible fear of death. I don't have it anymore. You'll lose stress when you give it over to Him. When you give Him to be Lord, you're going to lose stress. Incredible, incredible things that you'll get rid of. God's going to give us what we need, not what we deserve. Thank goodness. Well, there's a third thing that causes you not to say yes to God, and that's insecurity. I want you to know these things that I'm talking to you about, what I deal with too. So I'm not up here throwing rocks. I'm dealing with it too, or I have dealt with it. Insecurity, and nobody likes to say, well, you're just insecure. Well, remember, that was one of my things that I wrote down in What Matters the Most, the 30 Days. But when you're insecure, you have a tendency for the need to control things. The more insecure you are, the more the need you have to control. If you're secure, you don't have to worry about everyone's reactions. See, God's dealt with me on this. You know, I pastor an amazing church. You guys called me. Some of you guys called me all week and left messages. I like that when you call and I don't have to call you back. But you called and you said, Jim, I just want to tell you, I want to encourage you. God's using you. You're doing a wonderful job, you know, and everything's going great. So I was pumped up, man. I got several calls like that. And it's just wonderful. And God knows I needed it. You know, because I'm big on relationships. There's a place I hang out once or twice a month, you know, and I go over there and all the guys, they're real nice to me and they talk to me and we have a big time and we cut up and carry on. I just listen. I don't do a lot of the cutting up or no. But we have a good time. We cut up a lot. And I got a message this morning. And it was really an encouraging call. The guy calls me and he leaves a message and said, you know that place you hang out at? The day after you left, they were bad-mouthing you. These are friends. They were bad-mouthing. Don't just think about me. They were bad-mouthing y'all, too. It was the whole church. But they were talking bad about me and everything. And first I got kind of mad, you know. This all happened within 30 seconds, you know, that I realized, you know, because I had to deal with those emotions. I wanted to say things to them. I wanted to call them, and I was dealing with those, you know. I wanted to say things like, hey, buddy, your church ain't led nobody to Christ in 2 years. You ought to go over on Sunday and change that name from church to club. Amen? But you know, anyway, but I was just thinking, and that's wrong for me to think that. I don't mind that I protect your right to go say that. But anyway. Anyway, no, I don't. I'm just kidding. But I was thinking of all those things. And then I just became thankful for someone that would take up for me. Someone that would encourage me. Then I was thankful that God had taken away those insecurities. Because I don't really care if they like me or not. I'm here to do what God's called me to do. And somebody's going to get mad. And they'll be fine. Hopefully they have a relationship with Christ. And if they don't, I'm going to pray that they have one. But we're going to keep doing what we're doing. Loving God and loving Him back. Spreading that joy to others. And we're not going to let other people's reactions stop us, okay? That's about it. But what's the antidote to our fears? Get to know God. Get to know Him. Psalms 145 says this, the Lord is good to everyone, and His compassion is intertwined with everything He does. God does everything in your life out of love. God only acts one way toward you and I, that's love, according to the Bible. When you and I realize this, that He loves us, we're not going to have any problems with God. Not going to have any problems. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you. They are plans for good and not for evil. To give you a future and a hope. God says, I want you to trust me. I want you to trust me. God isn't going to show us everything. I was telling the 9 o'clock service, if He had told me 10 years ago that, Jim, in 10 years ago, you're going to be speaking in front of 600 to 700 people. You're going to be have missionaries. They'll be coming out of your church, going to Belize. They'll be going to Afghanistan and blah, 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 blah. All this is going to happen. And you're going to be there. You're going to have Awana. You're going to have doing this. You're going to be cell groups. There are going to be all these folks coming. I said, I'm out of here, buddy. That ain't for me. I don't want to speak in front of 600 to 700 people. I don't want to get to know them because, you know, God, I really don't like them. I don't want to learn a new way to say Jesus. I don't want to have her implants to make it go, you know, how it goes poof. And I just want to be me. So He said, I'm going to show you a little bit at a time. We're going to start off in your living room. And in your garage, you're going to be able to teach like He did in Sunday school. then you know what? We're going to move to the high school. Those musicians you worried about, got a guy moving from Texas. You don't know about him yet. He going to show up in shorts, flip-flops, and a Hawaiian shirt. All that paperwork you worried about that you can't do, we're going to send a nerd like Holcomb to fix that up. Who's going to keep those children? We're going to send lots of volunteers for them. Jim, you pray for the possible. Let me do the impossible. He'll take care of the rest. He'll take care of the rest. And he said, Jim, don't you worry about those people talking. Don't you worry about those people throwing rocks at you. You keep doing what I've told you to do. Plus, if they talk about you, it relieves somebody else. For I know the plans I have for you. I don't know what all the plans I have for you, that God has for you, but I know they're full of hope, and they're full of good, and they're your future. The second thing, I'll get through these real quick, to keep you safe from yes to God is our sinfulness. Our sinfulness do this. Now, a lot of folks don't like to talk about sin too much. Oh, you're the IT you got up on that sin. But I want to tell you something. One thing that I know, that the Bible is very clear on this, all have sinned. Nobody, no, not nobody, measures up to God's standards. Everybody has sinned. All right? Everybody has done that. Sin is simply saying, I want what I want, when I want it, where I want it. Sin is having my own way, that I am being my own God. Now, I don't want you to think of me any less as your pastor. But I think more of me than I do you. But so do you. I don't wake up in the morning and my first thoughts are, I wonder how those folks at North Point do it. I think of me. It's called our nature, that we think of ourselves first. It's just the natural thing. It's all about me. It's all about me. But we got to choose which kingdom we're going to serve, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of me. It's your choice. We can't serve both. We can't serve them both. There's a guy walking down the street. And Jesus says, come follow me. And he said, well, you know, let me first take care of my own agenda. Let me do that, and then I'll follow you. Here's the verse, Luke 9. Another said, yes, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first say goodbye to my family. Jesus told him, anyone who puts a hand to the plow, then looks back, is not fit for the kingdom of God. And I want you to pay close attention to the verse, underline, yes, Lord, and me first. You see, you can't say, yes, Lord, and me first. Do you get it? They don't go together. The Lord is first, not me. So you have to answer the question, who's going to be first in your life? Okay, well, how do I do this? How do I say yes to God? You got to surrender. You see, Jeff did that Wednesday night. He surrendered his life to Christ. And surrender, Tammy spoke about this in our cell group when we did 40 days, surrender's not a popular word. It's not a word you say, oh, yes, I'm ready to surrender. But guys, I want to talk to you in the right context of it. I'm not talking about giving up. I'm asking you to give in. Not give up, but to give in. Don't surrender any part of yourselves to sin, to be used for wicked purposes. Instead, give yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and surrender your whole being to him to be used for righteous purposes. Surrender. That means to give all yourself to God. But instead, you know, most of the time we want to be the victors. We want to be the conquerors. But surrender has so many negative connotations. But God puts it in this positive way. Give in. Don't give up. Give in. Joshua said to the people, "You are your own witnesses to the fact that you have chosen to serve the Lord." "Yes," they said. "Then get rid of those foreign gods that you have," he demanded, "and pledge your love to the Lord." At the end of the day, it's not about God beating you into submission. It's not about God bullying you. It's not about God conquering you. It's about how we need to understand how much God loves you and I. And the yes, what Jeff did Wednesday night is the yes is simply loving him back. Loving him back. Well, you say, well, why dangerous surrender? Why are you calling it dangerous surrender? Maybe you're wondering, some of you are wondering that, and maybe most of you ain't. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you why it's dangerous surrender. Because getting next to God, following God, Jeff, this is a mystery. Following God, getting next to God, sometimes is dangerous. Why? Because God ain't no wimp. Do you get that? He ain't no wimp. He's powerful. He's a creator of the earth. When you get next to God, sometimes things happen. Sometimes people say bad stuff about you. Sometimes stuff happens. It's going to happen. The enemy's going to come at you. But I'm going to tell you, it may not be the safest place, but it's good to be beside him. I want to encourage you to stay next to him. Stay next to him. Hang on. I want to tell you, he hadn't ever left me. He's always been beside me. Hang on. God is there. All right. Why don't we say that? Why don't we say that? You can trust him when you say yes. You can trust him. You're saying yes to a loving God. You're not saying yes to a dictator. He is not a dictator. Some of you say, "I want this life of faith, but I don't want to do nothing." Well, it doesn't work that way. Faith without works is dead. Some of you have been comfortable here too long. Some of you have been comfortable. God wants you to fly, man. I'm so thankful Tammy stood up and talked to you about Awana. You know, and look at these kids, you know. And I just cried when Bryant got married, when I got home, thinking about all that, you know. And how God has used us and used different folks and lives that are changed. It's been 10 years, and to see them grow up now and to be great citizens. You know what a mother eagle does. What do you call a mother eagle? Mom. We'll go with mom. Well, Mom Eagle, man, she builds these nests up on a cliff or a tall tree. And what I found out is I was reading about the mother eagle, and I thought, well, how does she get them out of the nest? You know, does she just come home one day from a day of flying? Hey, you got to go. What she does is she takes the branches. She's made it real comfortable for them, Corey, in the earlier days when they just little eagles. But when she notices it's time for them to get out, she starts turning the twigs around. Did y'all know that? You'll learn a lot from me, buddy. But she takes the twigs and turns them around so they stick them. And they prod them. So that they don't want to stay in the nest. You want to know how to get rid of your kids? Just put sticks in their bed. Amen? But she turns the sticks around and it makes it uncomfortable in there. Somebody was saying, "Get some sticks on the way home." But and then the eagles don't, the baby eaglets, we'll say eaglets, don't want to stay there because mom's making life uncomfortable for them. And so they begin to push out of the nest, and as they jump, she's always there for the first two or three times. Then when she sees they can't fly, man, she scoops them up to where they don't hit the ground. They plummet to the earth. She does that a couple of times, and then they fly. Well, I think me and the leaders of North Point Church are Mama Eagle. I think it's time we start making it a little uncomfortable for you folks. It's time for you to fly. It's time for you to get out of the nest or out of the seat. It's time for you to be productive Christ followers and citizens of the United States. So over the next few weeks and years, I hope you get real uncomfortable. But it's time to get out of the nest. It's time to fly. God has so many plans for you. But you first have to say, yes, I'll give you my life. Don't surrender any part of your life. Let's go. Where do I need to say yes? It's going to be different from everybody. This lady, real quick, Hannah, she says she wants this baby real bad. And she says, God, if you give me a boy, I'm going to give him back to you. So she, sure enough, she has this baby and she gives him to Eli. Eli's like the senior pastor of the church there, you know, and says, he's yours. I told God I was going to give him back to you. And this little boy, Samuel, his name's Samuel, he starts having he hears this voice in the night two or three times, and he wakes up Eli two or three times, and it's the third time before Eli finally figures out, hey, it's probably God talking to you. So we go back to sleep and see if he talks to you again. Next time you answer him, he says this. Eli said to Samuel, go lie down again. And if someone calls to you again, say, yes, Lord, your servant is listening. Listen at verse 11. I didn't put it in there. I forgot. Let me read it. And the Lord said to Samuel, see, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears tingle. He said, I'm about to use you, is what he's saying. He said, Samuel, I'm about to use you. I think that's what the Lord is wanting me to tell you today. He's about to use you. If you say yes, he's about to use you. It ain't about me. It ain't about the person next to you. It's about you. He's about to use you. But you need to say yes. You need to say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Answer him. You need to say yes. I don't know where you're at. It may not be another church. It may be in your job. It may be in a career decision. It may be in the marketplace. It may be at your home. You know, wherever it may be getting married. It may be getting a boyfriend. It may be getting rid of your boyfriend or whatever. But there's this door out there that God's saying, come through it. You say, I can't. I'm scared. God's opened this door for you. He's opened this door and you're still standing there saying no. And when you don't say yes, you're saying no. Go through the door. If God's opened the door for you, go through the door. I got news for you. He's on the other side. He's on the other side waiting on you, waiting on you. Then the Lord said to Samuel, I'm about to do a shocking thing in Israel. He wants you and I to be part of it. All right, finish up with this. Find out for yourself how good the Lord is. I want to tell you how good the Lord is, and it's hard for me to describe it. Lee could tell you, other leaders in the church, they could tell you how good the Lord is. But guys, you will not experience the goodness of the Lord unless you walk through the door. Unless you walk through the door. Whatever decision that you're dealing with, God is opening those doors. Go through them. Quit standing there like an idiot. Go through them. He's there. He's waiting on you. He will bless it. Amen? But I want to tell you, if he's closed the door, don't try to bust it open. Don't try to make things happen. He can do that. I found out a long time ago, it's easier for him to open the door than me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, I pray for your church here. I thank you that old Jeff and Oscar, they said yes. Oh, Lord. That you're about to do something shocking in Bartow County. That you're about to make some ears tingle in Texas. Lord, I thank you for opening doors. And Lord, for an old country boy like me, I thank you for closing them too. It's a simple deal. Open, walk through. Close, turn around. I pray that we don't make it complicated. And I pray that we shock this place. And we do it in your name.